Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're with us. Great show lineup for you. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, I know the shows are all good, but this one's really good because I get to invite back to the program Steve Tassinelli, who is, if you haven't heard of Steve or met Steve, he is our Vice President of Taxation at Holland Accounting and Tax Services. And Steve has been with me since 2008 and does tax returns for our clients and also, of course, is overseeing the company's financial department. So very happy to welcome Steve back to the program. We're going to be talking about taxation and planning for Social Security. And guess what? The two are related. You start talking about when to take Social Security. Are you working? Are you not? Are you going to be drawing income from different sources? How will these things affect your Social Security and the taxation? Well, that's what we're going to talk to Steve about. And Steve sees this firsthand preparing tax returns for many of our clients who are clients of Holland Financial for financial services and investment services. And also people just come in and meet with Steve specifically for their taxes. So at Holland Financial, we like to say the left hand actually knows what the right hand is doing. A quick background on Steve. He came to Holland Financial in 2008. Prior to that, he had worked for a couple other local businesses. He has his degree in criminology and accounting from Florida State University. And I was born in Maryland. He's been in Florida, though, long enough since 1978 to be considered, I guess, a grandfathered in Floridian. So, hey, Steve, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for allowing me to come back.
Hey, listen, I know it's a long commute from you for to walk the 6 feet from your office to the studio here, but I'm glad you didn't run into any traffic on the way.
It is very convenient, yes.
So let's dive in here. We've got tax and different issues as it relates to Social Security. So you're seeing this in working with our clients, of course, and in some of the decisions they make. And of course, we try to integrate, not just try, we do integrate taxation into the planning we do for our clients. Also, we integrate Social Security and when best to take it into the retirement income plans we build for our clients. So is it fair to say from your perspective that all this stuff kind of just swirls together?
It does. It's all very, very interrelated. Do you supplement your Social Security with retirement funds? Do you even take Social Security and when to take it? All of those things impact not only annual taxes, but lifetime taxes as well.
Yeah. And, you know, the of course, the answer, I'll go ahead and get this out up front for our listeners, Steve, is that the specific situations for everybody is what's going to determine what's best for them. You know, there is no one size fits all. There is no rule of thumb, rules of thumb, or what they, I guess a new, we used to call it rules of thumb. Now the fancy word or the more hip word is a life hack. That's what they call it now. And I'm like, what is that? I don't want anybody hacking on anything I'm doing. But anyway, it's a shortcut. But the truth is there are no shortcuts, and you really have to think through and do the calculation. We've got the tax software. We've also got Social Security software. We've got two people in our office, as you know, Steve, because we've paid for it. Their education in my office, that we've had two people who have gotten Social Security education and credentials. So this stuff is very specialized, and it really depends on the person. So there might be one person we would tell to wait until they're older or delay their Social Security. Another person we might tell to start it sooner. And on the same note, there might be somebody we tell to go ahead and start drawing from their IRAs or their 401ks, and somebody else we might tell them the exact opposite. And so there is no river that runs through it. There is no consistent answer. It just depends.
Yes, that is a very, very good point. Every situation is literally specific to that individual or couple.
Okay.
Very, very good point.
So here's the crux of it then. When you're looking at this from a tax standpoint, the key thing I think that you want to get across is that people recognize that they need to consider the taxation while they're making these decisions, not after the fact.
Correct. Basically, the very first question you ask is, how much of my Social Security is taxable? Now, some people might not know Social Security can and is taxable.
Well, you know, they love to hear that, Steve, because the first thought they have is, well, wait a minute, that's baloney because I've already paid the money into Social Security. Why are you taxing it? That sounds like double taxation.
Yes. Depending on your other income, and we'll go into a little bit more detail about the equation and the determination there, but anywhere from none of your Social Security can be taxable all the way up to 85% of your Social Security can be taxed at your marginal tax rate.
Yay. That sounds so much fun. Well, to the listeners who are ready to run off the road, listening if they're driving their car or whatever they're doing, it depends on the rest of their income. And so for a lot of people, as you know, it doesn't affect them. But if somebody's got a pension or they've got, of course, wage income, which is a whole other issue, they have a large amount of dividends. If they're drawing a lot out of their IRA is very big, and they've got required minimum distributions that they have to take out, and those distributions are significant, then those are the people that fit the scenario where they may pay as much as they may pay tax on as much as 85% of their Social Security income.
Yes. One of the main questions that I have when preparing tax returns is how much of my Social Security is taxable? And it's a pretty long, drawn-out equation. I'll try to simplify it as much as possible. The amount of your Social Security that is taxed is based on what's known as provisional income. That is modified adjusted gross income, which is all of your wages if you have them, interest, dividends, capital gains, all of your other income, plus one half of your Social Security benefits received, plus tax-exempt interest. So these three things are used to determine what your provisional income, PI for short, is. And then that is applied to specific thresholds based on your tax filing status. If you are married filing joint, the thresholds are $32,000 and $44,000.
For the 50 and 85% inclusion in income, respectively.
Correct.
Okay.
It's a little bit more complicated, but for simplicity's sake, anything below that first threshold of $32,000, none of your Social Security will be taxed.
Okay. So let's separate the distasteful part of this that you're going to, hey, I'm going to pay tax on my Social Security, even though the money that is Social Security, I already paid tax. If we back that up a little bit, you put money into Social Security, and it is called Social Security tax. But, you know, to make everybody feel a little bit better here, one way to also think about the Social Security taxation is that it helps to maybe think about it as a contribution that you're required to make, almost like a forced 401k contribution to your own, even though it's not a separate account, but toward the Social Security system. And then that is going to come back to you in the form of income. So the truth is you really haven't paid tax on that, although it's not a dollar for dollar contribution where dollar going in is going to result in the dollar coming out.
Yes, correct.
And so that's part of it. The other part of it is just understanding that for our listeners, Steve, it is very complicated. Number one, this is why it's nice that we have software. And two, it's nice that we have you here, Steve, because this is a very complicated thing. And the other thing you get into is there's whether somebody's working and what they're making. And people make different incomes in different years. Maybe they inherit something that's going to be taxed as income. Maybe they have an inherited IRA from another family member, or they've got a windfall from a sale of a property. Maybe it was investment property. Maybe they have rental income at one year, another year they don't. So again, it's got a lot of hair on it, as we say. And, you know, so good news is that with the right tools, you can do some planning and not just be, hey, great, all of that, that's good, guys. There's a lot of formula and calculation, but just tell me what the tax is. The better thing here is that you actually, with some thinking ahead and some planning, actually can prepare for what may come down the road.
Yes. Anything that is going to increase your provisional income, most importantly, probably that modified adjusted gross income, that's the biggest part of your provisional income. And again, like you said, any sort of rental income, any sort of financial inheritance, anything that's going to increase your modified adjusted gross income is going to increase the amount of your taxable Social Security. Definitely need to know that before, you know, tax time comes in order to correctly prepare for that.
Yep. Be prepared. That's the key. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's grab a break. I'll come back and dig a little further into taxation and Social Security and some of the things you can actually do about this, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Tassinelli is our resident CPA, and he's also a certified management accountant, and he has been with Holland Financial since 2008. We're going to grab a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, president and managing partner of Rice and Rose. The Rice and Rose Law Firm has a department dedicated to estate planning, wills, trusts, and probate. We also provide legal guidance if you need a power of attorney, living will, or healthcare surrogate. contact the Rice and Rose Law Firm at our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit our website at ricerosenlaw.com.
How's this for convenient one-stop shopping? Holland Financial offers so many services through its subsidiaries, like fee-based investment management, financial planning, retirement and estate planning, fixed annuities, long-term care, disability and life insurance, and tax return preparation. Our founder, David Holland, also has specialized training to serve as a trustee and executor for families wanting sound financial stewardship for their beneficiaries. Many of your neighbors and local families have chosen Holland Financial because we've helped them plan stronger. Call 671-PLAN and meet with David one-on-one or visit Holland Financial at planstronger.com.
And we're back. Steve Tassinelli in the studio with me, our resident CPA doing tax returns for our clients and folks that aren't financial clients that want our help. And it's year-round and CPAs that are here all year long to help you. And, you know, it occurred to me on the break, Steve, that with all this complexity of the taxation of Social Security, they just, I think, released some of the programming for some of the Apollo missions. Maybe we can get a hold of that and use some of that technology to figure out the Social Security taxation. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. So here's the big question we left people with before the break, and that is how to plan for this and things to do. And I want to give you an example. I'd love you to talk about this, Steve, and maybe give listeners a little bit more explanation on this. And that is that I've had situations where when we've done the planning, of course, working with our planning team, Haiti is our VP of financial planning, and she has gone to Social Security training. She's also a chartered financial consultant. So she helps me build the plans for people. And one of the things that we've done is there have been situations where we run the numbers on Social Security and everything else, and also look at taxes where we actually tell people, wait for it, here it is. We actually tell people to start drawing from their IRAs or 401ks or whatever type of employer retirement plans before they have to. And when I say that, people sometimes twist their head and look at me like a dog that you've just blown that little dog whistle. They look at me like I'm crazy. So because the natural tendency is that for people been told all their lives, save, 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 don't take anything out of these retirement accounts till you have to. And then when they get into retirement, they go, well, isn't that still true? And the short answer is not necessarily. It may be better to go ahead and start drawing on some of those accounts. Even though you're going to pay tax before you have to, it may result in a lower tax bracket and for income tax purposes and lower the amount of your Social Security that ultimately will be subject to taxation by basically levelizing and stretching out that income that's never been taxed before that will definitely be part of this formula for Social Security and how much of it's taxed.
Yes, that's true, David. There are very many instances where you would want to delay Social Security and use any sort of supplemental retirement plan, whether it be a pension, whether it be an IRA, that you have available to you in order to put off claiming Social Security. Now, the big reason, one of the main reasons doing that is Social Security gives an 8% credit for every year benefits are delayed. So what that means, for example, this is kind of an extreme. There's a pretty long period, but it proves the point. Somebody who would receive $1,500 a month at 62 would collect $2,640 plus any cost of living adjustments by waiting until age 70. So you have to put that off for 8 years. However, that's a 75% increase in basically monthly income. And don't forget, Social Security is lifetime.
Right.
So you would get that increase for the remainder of your life plus any cost of living adjustments. So the case for holding off Social Security, if you have the ability to do that, that's one of the main reasons why that's done.
And to be fair and be clear and not to be insensitive here, there are a lot of people who say, you know what, I don't have other money to draw on or I don't have other sources of income, so I need to draw my Social Security. And that's all well and good and that's fine and that's understood. A lot of people arrive at retirement without a lot of other sources of income. What we're speaking to here is if somebody has the wherewithal and the flexibility of maybe saying, well, you know what, I will draw on these other sources of income or these other assets. You know, an example that I just thought of, Steve, is if, say, somebody inherits a property from a family member and, you know, sells that property. They don't need the property. It's not something that's part of their personal plans. They sell it, and that allows them to use that, maybe that money, or they rent it and they use that money for income, and they're able to delay, like you said, from 62 to 70 or 66 or some future period. Now, that can make a lot of, provide a lot of advantages, not only for the person who is drawing it, but also, you know, the convenient thing for married couples is that in looking at survivorship, is that by allowing your Social Security to get a lot bigger, waiting to say to 70, it's also going to give your survivor a potentially much more financially rewarding and much more financially stabilizing for them if they are your survivor. You know, would you, what were those numbers? It was 1500 versus 2600?
Yes.
I mean, so if you leave your survivor your $2,600 Social Security benefit, that's a huge benefit, especially if their own is not that much.
Yes, that's an increase of an $1,100 a month, which you wouldn't need to take from any other sort of retirement fund.
You know, sometimes people, when we go through that thought process, Steve, they go, well, that sounds good. I like that. But you know what? I got to tell you, I don't expect to live that long. And it's a guy's telling me that, Steve. They always say, I'm not going to live that long. Nobody in my family lives a long time. I don't buy green bananas. I'm not doing that. And I say, okay, that's fine. We can build that into the plan, maybe drawing Social Security earlier, but we didn't need to look at the spouse and what their situation is. How long do people generally live in their family? What's their lifestyle and health like now? And it may make sense, and it might require a little bit of a little wrestling to get to this point, but it may make sense even if the person who's claiming Social Security, that their health isn't the greatest, or even if their history is not the greatest, that they still might, for the family unit, it might make sense to delay because it is going to give their survivor. I saw one the other day. We were doing the planning. We pushed out the Social Security to 70 for the husband, and the wife was going to get something like $42,000 a year in Social Security benefit as a survivor benefit. That's a huge number.
Yeah, it basically, again, delaying Social Security and taking supplemental funds can result in lower lifetime taxes for not only the taxpayer but the taxpayer's spouse as well.
Well, and these are all things you have to factor in. And again, I'm going to belabor the point here for a minute. You have to have other sources of income. You have to have other assets to draw on to make a conversation about when to take Social Security relevant or important. And there are many situations where it actually is prudent to take Social Security at 62. You say, well, wait a minute. You guys just got through talking about why we should wait. Yes, but there are a lot of other situations where it makes sense to draw at 62 for Social Security. Setting aside just your expectations about health and how long you live, there may be other sources of income that you know you're going to get in the future that the Social Security can kind of bridge the gap until you do. You know, I mean, another example, Steve, is somebody knows they're going to get a large inheritance. I mean, it's just a given. They know. And maybe they need to make a job change or retire a little early, and they're going to take Social Security. Maybe they're going to help care for that person, and they know they're going to get a large inheritance. I mean, it's okay. It's not a crime, you know, to take Social Security early. That you just want to think about it and make sure it's a smart decision.
Absolutely, yes. There, like I said earlier, there are cases for and against both delaying it and both taking it at 62.
Any other tax considerations before we kind of get into some of the work-related stuff? Any other tax considerations just straight up on, you talked about the formula and we talked about using the Apollo software to solve the calculation, but anything else on the tax part of it?
Not so much. Just, again, you have to be very aware of the entire situation, not just Social Security. It's what else is going on out there that's going to affect the total tax bill.
All right, good. Well, let's do this. Let's grab a break. I'm going to come back and I want to talk about if somebody's working. That's a whole other angle to this or another element. And sometimes it gets confusing between Social Security being brought in for taxation versus losing or having your Social Security reduced because you're working and you retired before your normal retirement age. Quick break. We'll come back and dig into that. Stay right there.
Two things are for sure. It's summertime, and the kids want to swim. I'm sure glad that we enrolled our children in the Volusia Flagler YMCA Summer Swim Program. It was so easy. At the Y, they enjoy water sports, meet new friends, and most important, they learn water safety skills. If you haven't signed up yet, call your local Y or log on to vfymca.org. Come on, it's summertime. Enjoy it more with the summer swim programs from your Volusia Flagler YMCA.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
And we're back, and we have time to dig in further with Steve Tassinelli, our resident CPA here at Holland Financial, to dig into a little bit about one of the other big questions or areas where people get a little confused, understandably, Steve, with taxation and reduction of benefits for Social Security. And that is if somebody has, because of their specific situation or maybe just hasn't done the math or had the advice they need, they are still working and they take Social Security at the same time. And so the rub is if your normal retirement age, say, is 66 or 67, that's kind of where we are now today with the phasing in of the older Social Security being eligibility being at an older age, but basically 66 or 67. And if you're still working and you draw benefits before then, let's just say at 66 is your normal retirement age, you draw at 62, which is your first eligibility, and you're still working, you could see a reduction in your Social Security, and it's pretty significant.
It is very significant. The threshold, again, with taxes, there's thresholds with everything. If you earn, and that's earned income, that's a W-2, that's a paying job, or self-employment income as well, say if you're a realtor or something like that, that's earned income. If you are over a specific threshold, your Social Security benefits that are paid decrease.
Right. And I've got the number here courtesy of the website, ssa.gov, $15,720 for 2016. It is indexed to inflation. They make adjustments to that number. So if you make more than, as Steve said, earned income, not talking about dividends and things like that, but earned income, that means you did something to working to make it happen, even if it's a 1099 or W-2, and you had more than $15,720 from that source, and you drew Social Security in the same year, some of your Social Security could be reduced.
Correct.
And so with that, the thing that a lot of times people don't realize is it's not, you know, when people hear that, they think, oh, wait a minute, they're taking it, I've lost those benefits, or it's another tax, it's a penalty. It actually isn't lost, it's just they reduce it while you're working, and you get it back. It gets factored into what you get when you actually turn 66.
Yes, that is correct. It's not lost. It's delayed,
yeah,
so to speak.
It's recaptured. Basically, what's happening is Social Security Administration saying, well, wait a minute. We think you're a little confused. Okay, you're still working. Social Security is intended for when you're not working and you're retired. So if you still insist on working and you still insist on taking Social Security, we're just going to help you. Help me help you. It sounds like from a movie. So we've got to help me help you. They're going to reduce your Social Security benefit and then turn around and give it back to you at 66. Big brother's looking out for you.
Yes. We have clients that say it's not worth it for me to work. And basically, I never tell a client not to earn income. If
right,
you have
right.
the ability and you want to do it, you know, you're not taxed 100% on your income. You're only taxed a certain percentage of that. So do you want to keep what's not taxable, or do you want to forego the tax on it? So it's a strategy. It's just, you need to be aware of it. The threshold isn't very high. So you just need to be cognizant of it.
Yeah. And there's also, we will not try to explain this because we'll lose everybody in about 10 seconds. Okay. But there is some specific numbers and calculations when you were in that year where you are retiring. If you have worked partial year, you know, you're turning 62 halfway through the year, or you are deciding to take Social Security at 64, whatever it is before your full retirement age of, say, 66 or higher, any work income during that year, there's a special formula and the calculation, and I have to stop and look at the Steve and actually walk through the math myself every time I deal with that with a client because it's just so confusing.
Yes, I deal with the Internal Revenue Service's tax code, and the Social Security rules in regards to that are just about as complicated.
Yeah, and it can be. And the other thing to keep in mind, and we saw this recently with the Budget Reconciliation Act of 2015, one of the things to keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, is as we talk about these subjects, there is always the disclaimer, and it's not because we're lazy, it's because we know the reality of how laws change. Everything we're sharing with you on this program is based on where things are today in current tax law, current Social Security laws, because there was a lot of these different strategies that were available that allowed you to tailor Social Security to your specific situation very, very specifically, and actually make the most of Social Security. Well, that Budget Reconciliation Act of 2015 significantly changed Social Security in terms of these different techniques and strategies and how you can use them. So if you were thinking of filing and suspending or doing a restricted application or some of these different terminologies that have been used and different techniques that have been used with Social Security, well, number one, that's changed. If you planned on doing certain things once you reached a certain age, there's a good chance that that changed since that was done and maybe since you did your planning, and this stuff changes ongoing. So you always have to come back and look at it. And that's why we'll have Steve back to talk more about the Social Security and also, of course, the taxation.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for being with us, Steve. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. We'll have you back for another show.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.